All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe, and I am joining you from an extra echoey room today because I'm in the middle of moving, and it's an absolute fiasco. I'm joined by my good friends, Dace, playing Benji.
Not moving. I'm here.
Not
stagnant.
Not moving. He's
it's filthy water.
Okay. we'll talk about that offline. We'll unpack that a bit. By Brad, playing Hank.
Hello, hello.
And then, of course, by Jean, playing Benedict.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Yes, I am sitting here in a very trendy chair that was put in my office by the people who came in to make our house look presentable, I suppose.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, okay. And there's a little look at this guy, this little guy that they this little plant thing they put on my desk. it's very oh, and there's also an alarm like an old school alarm clock, right?
Like what the hell?
You know what? Give us a tour of your house. Give the Twitch viewers what they want. Come on,
is that it? Is this what they want? I don't know
you
if that's what they
want. You can't get doxed if you're moving, right?
If there's any time to get doxed, the right before you move is probably the time.
Take down your murder board?
They did take down my murder board. They didn't appreciate my murder board.
That was art.
So trendy.
Now it's a picture of some horses. Some galloping, painted horses.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's you can't see it because it's like painted. That's God. What's you guys experience with moving? I know Brad is a masochist, so he loves a good move.
it normally killed me last time, so I'm definitely want to hire someone to move my shit next time.
Like for the actual moving process.
Yes, moving all the shit.
Yeah. Well, it's Jean, like you.
I do it every 3 months.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And do you prematurely balding and going gray and fat, but
it's just really taking it out of you. Well, do you have any? What are your? I know Jean hates it when I bring up the international courts. But like, what's your hot tips? You know, as someone who has to move constantly to avoid being held accountable.
Less shit.
Less stuff.
That's very zen of you.
Yeah. If it doesn't bring you joy, just don't have it, right?
In theory. But
yeah.
Then you accumulate stuff over the years.
Right. Yeah. At some point in time it's impossible not to do. What about you,
like
Dace?
Like horse pictures.
Like pictures of horses. Like my massive portfolio of extremely just...
Boy's got a problem.
It's like, it's not a bad painting, but it's not good.
What if the horse painting on your wall was that meme of like the horse shitty drawing in the front and then like perfect in the back?
God. That would be perfect. What about you, Dace? What is your how do you like a good move? You love uprooting yourself and moving to a new place?
What kind of a question is that?
Do you like change?
I just want to hear the particular just like shitty energy that you bring to moving.
Do you like good?
Nobody
in the
likes
nuts
moving
repeatedly.
Exactly. Why does it suck so much? Why does moving suck so much? Is it just that it's inconvenient? Is that it? Like,
it's inconvenient, chaotic, and
so
it's just straight up work, stress. It's the worst kind of work.
1,000 decisions that you have to make. 10,000 decisions. You pick up one item, and you have to make 10 decisions.
Yeah.
None of them are fun.
Well, I feel like for Jean...
None of them even matter.
I feel like especially for Jean, like, every time he picks up an item, he's like, is this a mic stand? And he has to figure out whether or not...
Exactly. That's the first part of the filter.
It's extra hard for Gianluca.
Now, what are these objects?
I suspect they might be mic stands, but I should probably ask somebody.
And this is a mic stand you can drink out of. And this is a mic stand that you can use to turn on the television. And this is a mic stand that you... And this mic stand has my diploma in it. I got...
It must be a hard life for you, John.
Oh my god, well played. Thank you for that.
Oh god. I mean, you did it yourself. Let's be honest.
Joe, what are your thoughts on moving, Joe? Are you just trying to like get us out the way before you drop some real truth?
I'm also not that big a fan. I moved around a good bit. You know, like when I was in the military, you know, I had to move around pretty regularly. But what Brad was saying about like getting someone to come and pack your shit. If there was one good thing about military moving, it's that they would just pay for that. They would just pay for people to come into your house, and they would pack everything up, put it in a truck, take it to where you're going, and then unpack it there. Which was, I mean, like they were putting dishes back in the cabinets. You know, they're not going to make your bed for you, but they'll put your bed back together. If they took it apart, they'll put it back together. It was... And that shit obviously cost money. But man. I actually got a storage unit for the first time. I had a legitimate thought. I'm like, man, you could live in a storage unit, right? Like, obviously you write in there that you're not going to do that when you sign the agreement. But I was like, man, if I was single, Joe, I could live in the storage unit.
Joe, where are you moving to, buddy? Do you need that?
I'm gonna live
in your house being foreclosed in a really luxurious way.
That's a thing. A lot of bands have been known to do in bigger cities because you know neighbors and shit. They'll just all like pinch in on a storage unit and have a communal rehearsal space.
Really?
And shit like that, you know.
But there's no power in a storage unit typically.
Yeah, it must be one with power.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say that bands were pitching into a storage unit and they were all living in there. And that sounded very much like the bands that I've met.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't pay much until it does.
Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of weird places to lay your head at night, I think that back in the world of Delta Green... I feel like that's something else that's happened recently, where our team has just taken a good long nap for the first time in the Hotel Broad Albin, of all places. And boy, oh boy, just getting here. Man, those last three episodes that it took to get here, Brad is just, for the audio listeners, just gave the slightest of head shakes. that's... Brad, I'm sorry. Did you not like something that happened to Hank along the way? It was,
Dying wasn't great, but...
I can log your complaint with the complaint department.
I don't know if you've had any feedback, but in hindsight, I did approve of your decision to not completely off Hank.
Yeah, have you been dragged on the boards?
Those episodes haven't posted yet, so we haven't had the chance.
Can't wait! Yeah. Can't wait for you to be dragged on the boards.
Like listen, they said, I'm changing my character name to Hank Ellis the White.
So it's the hole in his hand, and you can see where he was pierced by the spear. He has risen.
He is risen. So say we all.
Last time, the guys, after escaping the Dorchester, after running amok in Boston, after fleeing Boston, after being put in the sights of Delta Green and possibly Mr. Wild, the guys fled the team, Imsel, Hank, Benedict and Benji fled Boston in order to track down a lead, this Victor Carell that you guys had not met, you haven't met him, that you guys heard about. There's something with a particular version of The King in Yellow, a screenplay that he did in Chicago several years ago, back in 2007. You guys escaped Boston. Didn't have to go that well. You guys just, the roll of the dice, you guys just avoided getting picked up by the cops a bunch. You guys made it out of Boston. You did run across some fake police officers you expertly dispatched. You summoned Axel, who actually was a demon. I can't remember the name of the demon now. But you guys summoned Axel and encountered him in a green box. You guys went on a crazy, crazy, I don't even know what you like, basically a running gunfight with these gas mask trench coated guys that you've seen this entire time. And I can't remember if it was in the last episode, or it was in the sanity. It was something that was said in the sanity check. I think it was Dace who said it, actually, who asked me a question, like, or like I had kind of like let you guys see behind the screen on something. And Dace picked up the name of these guys, which was the static team, that I accidentally gave to the team. You guys managed to get away from the static team and escape into the Hotel Broad Albin. And something else I did tell you guys is that, you know, one of the elements of the Broad Albin is you actually have to be running away from something to ever find it. You know, and when you guys originally, back all the way back in Chapter 1, it was when you guys found the bookshop. You guys went to a location where you're pretty sure the Hotel Broad Albin had existed at some point in time, which was in New York City near Madison Square Park. And you found that it wasn't there. And, you know, the canonical lore reason for that is that you weren't being chased. Maybe if you'd been on the run.
You don't know that. You don't know Benji wasn't running away from his emotions.
Benji's always running away from the way he deals with his life. But you guys now have made it to the Hotel Broad Albin. Hank died. Hank fucking died. Did you get shot? Is that how it happened? That's how it happened, right? Didn't you get blasted with a shotgun?
Shot in the neck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hank died and then was kind of brought back. We talked about that in the sanity check, kind of the stuff behind that, you know. And I told you guys, I'm going to tell you that that was written into this section of the story because of the otherworldly stuff that's happened. You don't get another one of those. Like, that was a on-the-books kind of thing.
We took sanity damage for that for those shenanigans.
You did. You did.
But then we got it back because we killed people.
You got some back. When you guys got to the Hotel Broad Albin, because we killed people.
So chipper.
When you guys got to the Hotel Broad Albin, you flopped Hank there into the lobby. You ran across an old figure. You asked for a doctor, and lo and behold, you were given a doctor. Not the kind of doctor you probably wanted, but a doctor nonetheless. You got, of all people, Elias Barbus, who was pulled. He seemingly didn't recognize you. Whatever is up with that. You met the front desk person. You didn't really remember if you asked him his name. You know, who was there kind of running the front desk. And you asked for rooms. And lo and behold, you had rooms waiting for you. Rooms waiting for you in your name. You guys all elected, for whatever reason, to instead of staying in your separate rooms, to all stay in the same room. Which, I think, was completely paranoid on your part. I have no idea why you'd do that. But now, you guys have rested. Hank has gotten back a single point of HP. Everyone but Benji, I believe, has gotten back willpower, because I don't think Benji was able to sleep.
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. But I'm pretty sure everyone is still pretty worse for the wear. I mean, Hank is still really messed up. Really, really messed up. He is... How many hit points does Hank have? Do you have...
Three.
Three?
Do you think we should just finish him off?
I'm considering it. It would simplify a lot of the rest of the game.
Yeah, it would. Streamline it, really.
Yeah. I mean, it is... It's worth is literally worth considering. So you guys just so Brad, I know you read up on your backup character last time we played. Just kind of keep that one locked and loaded. You never know.
Benji leans over and says, "Good night, sweet prince," and slits his throat delicately.
Like as he's sleeping.
Yes.
So yeah, so guys, you guys are in the Hotel Broad Avon. You are in your rooms. Now, I have a question for you here up top.
Room.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pardon me, you're in your room. I have a question for you up top. What the hell are you guys gonna do here? Like, what's the way forward?
Gotta find the party.
The party?
Yes.
Old Benedict.
We have instructions.
What were those instructions?
Yeah. Where is that on the murder board?
Let's see. I need to give you guys a new... I need to see if I can get you guys
What's
a
that
different
name?
Murder board.
Find.
Don't you touch my murder board. Like trendy furniture people.
What is the name? It says find something Ling.
J.C. Lin.
Oh, J.C. Lin's.
Yeah, let me
see. Hotel Broad Avon.
Let's see if
go now. Find the hotel. Check the labyrinth.
Check.
Uncheck. The Maybe author. Check. Basically, we've just found the. We've done the top half of the top one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we get a loot box? We get loot.
A loot box. Where we
get all the check boxes.
Do we have to pay you for that?
You have to pay me for loot boxes? I don't think that's the way it works.
We got the bottle.
You did.
We got something.
You basically got loot already.
Coins with Joe's face on it that right. we pay him.
Jokins.
Awesome.
Jokins. It's gonna be my own. It's gonna be my own cryptocurrency.
Joe Bucks. It'll be more popular than the Dogecoin.
I'm calling it right now. That's what the whatever the thing we get.
The juice.
We do something. The juice. It should just be Jokins instead.
Jokins. I'm done with that.
Yeah. Let us know what you think about Jokins versus juice.
Is it juice already taken? By
on the hot topic.
No juice. I think juice was as far as I know pretty unique to us.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know for a fact Jokins is not anybody because it's fucking stupid.
That's very true.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'd use it.
Okay. So here we are. So what you guys are saying is looking at what we've got to do. So you guys have found the hotel, but the list here goes the hotel, the labyrinth, the author, the bottle, the city, the lake, its shadow, the ball, and then the dance, the girl in blue, and all of that jazz. So you guys have, congratulations, you've completed the first of this list. You have found the hotel. Let's just, you know what? Round of applause for the guys for finding their way into the Hotel Broad Avon.
Don't you clap. At home. Oh,
there we go.
Okay, that's a sound bite of clapping.
So, you guys wake up in the morning. Let me see here. Let me roll a dice here real quick. Let's go ahead. We're playing an RPG after all. Let's roll a damn dice. Let me roll something here real quick. 1, 2, 3 for you guys. Okay, Benji. Benji has not slept well. How many willpower does Benji have? Actually,
bring up the character sheet here. Da, da, da. Benji Potts. Willpower 5 out of 12.
Okay, he's not doing great. Ooh. If he gets down to 2, he takes a -20 on everything.
Yep, not playing that again.
Yeah, that's rough. So Benji Potts, you have not slept well, and you guys did reset all your failures, right? You guys did that because you rested?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you haven't, then do it now. Benji Potts has not slept well, and you wake up in what you assume is the morning? Question mark. Like, you know, you guys have rested. I mean, for a while. You know, Hank is still really messed up. I mean, he's got a big bandage on. You know, and things like that. What's that? You made a funny face.
Are there windows? Are there windows in our room?
Windows. A hotel would have windows, would it not? Old Benji Potts asking the important questions. Benji Potts walks over to the window. And
why do I feel like I'm about to take sanity damage?
Just go ahead and get just that ready.
You don't even need to see what happens.
Benji, you...
Go ahead.
You open the window and it looks like it might be raining outside. And it's hard to tell. It looks like it might be, you know, maybe 9-10 o'clock in the morning, you know, decently early, but the city looks to be alive-ish. And you are surprised to see across the way, it looks kind of like New York, but it looks a little old school, and the people are wearing clothes that look like they're out of time, you know, from very like almost like a 30s, 40s kind of garb. But the city right across from the window from where your room is, there looks to be a small park with wrought iron fencing all around it. And you see that there looks to be a small park, and in this park is a kind of square, almost out of place looking stone and glass structure. And you see that standing outside of it, you see a young man. He looks to maybe in his 20s or so, and he looks frazzled. His tie is like pulled down, like away from his collar, and his hair is a mess, and he's holding a trilby in his hand that matches his suit, and he holds a bottle in his hand, and he takes a swig of it, and there's a trash can right there, and he places it in the trash can, and he looks like he might be crying, and you're kind of watching this as he kind of seems like he stills himself, wipes his face, he stands up very straight, and he hits a button on the side of this chamber, and the glass door slide open. And he steps kind of hesitantly inside as the glass doors slide closed behind him.
It's like a standalone structure in the middle of a park. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like the middle of a small park. And then you are shocked to see, as he stands inside the structure, the whole structure seems to fill with a thick yellowish color glass or gas, like these clouds like boil or pumped out into this structure, as you watch the young man fall to his knees. He might be fucking dead.
To like a Futurama-esque suicide booth.
And as you're watching this, you see an old school, old timey kind of van pull up, and some men in white get out of the van, and they pull out a stretcher, and they roll up there, and they put him on the stretcher, put a sheet over him, and put him into the van, and drive away. And I feel like at that point in time, Benji's probably like, well, that's enough window for today. So go ahead and roll that sanity check for me real quick.
That doesn't seem unnatural, though.
Yeah. Oh, fine. Just to well,
that's just
you're in a different place and fair, a different time. Fair. It I is innately unnatural.
All right.
I'm just saying, I've seen this before. Okay, I didn't roll.
It was on Futurama.
Failure for Benjamin.
All right, failure for Benjamin. Take one sanity damage for me. A good old fashioned sanity damage.
There's so many things I want to do.
But
open the window and can I open the window? Does it open?
Sure.
Can I stick my head out of the window?
You can.
Everything seems normal-ish.
Ish. Again, like, everything... The fashion is all wrong. There is obviously... You're out of time again. I imagine Benji would find this fascinating. And you see that the hotel that you're in appears to be standing normally on the side of the street. You're definitely not a part... You're not across from Madison Square Park. You are...
It's just like... Where the fuck are we is what I'm trying to figure out. Like, we came in through the front door, and now we're in a different space. What happens if I now exit through the window? Like, will I just be in the 1940s? Like, are we time traveling? Is this a different plane? What the fuck's going on?
Alertness roll.
Snowman's land, bro.
Alertness. Oh, shit. 435. Success.
God, I wish I had my I wish I had a copy of a different book in front of me right now. You
Is it in storage?
It's in
Why don't
storage.
You just look at a picture of horses and narrate that.
You look and see a flag. It is similar to a flag of the United States of America. But it is not the flag of the United States of America.
Are we in the divergent reality? Are we in the reality in which Carcosa is a state still?
Who can say?
Or a country, rather.
What's different about
Benji
the flag?
Picks up the phone and dials operator.
It's different. I'm not going to make something up right now. Okay. This is why I wish I had the other book. That's a book that's not... a part of Delta Green. There's another book that I would reference right now if I had it with me. If I was smart and good at what I do, I would have done that when I prepped. You're going to dial the operator?
Yeah, I'm going to try to dial the concierge.
Okay. You hear, you pick up the phone, and I guess it would be like an old rotary phone, probably. You pick it up, and you know, there's like a little number there that says front desk, and you dial it. And these other two are still probably sleeping or are beginning to kind of get up and move around. You know,
Hank just looking at him with like a blank stare as he does all this shit. Hank knows will make him tell him creepily.
I imagine Hank is in an immense amount of pain.
Yeah, like, probably.
Okay, you pick up and you hear hello? Hello, this is front desk.
Hey, is Carcosa a state or a country?
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
All right. So Carcosa ain't a country, like.
Sir, is this Mr. Potts? Is it not?
Yeah, what's your name, by the way?
Elmer. Elmer Lossett. I did his voice differently before. That's his voice.
Nobody remembers.
That's good. Yeah, Elmer Lossett. I'm the general manager here at the Hotel Broad Albin.
Well, good for you, Elmer. I just looked out the window and I saw a dude in a stone and glass construct. Walk in and there's a bunch of yellow gas, and then he died and some folks came and picked him up. What's that about?
Well, sir, I'm afraid I'm not the general manager of whatever the hell is going on across the street. So,
Sassy with a smile.
As the general manager of the Hotel Broad Albin, I would assume that you would be privy to my view. I'm paying good money for this room. I don't want to have to look at this bullshit out my window.
If you would like, sir, I could arrange for a different room for you if the view is so thoroughly troubling.
I want a beach view. Beachside.
Lakeside.
Lake.
I want a lakeside. Lakeside view. I demand it.
Okay. I'm considering whether or not to make you make a roll, because you're being a bit of an ass to this guy.
No, he's giving me sass. If he gives you sass, you be an ass. Write it in stone.
Okay. How has that gone with you when you've dealt with people who are assholes and you sass back? Has that typically gone well? Just in life?
Well, I can't do it in real life. I can do it. Fair. I can use you like a punching bag because it's not real.
Right. Okay. So, okay, go ahead and make me that roll, that charisma roll. Let's see if you let me see if you managed it. I'm
overflowing with charisma. Crit.
Are you serious?
Excellent. Nice.
All right, you son of a bitch.
I don't even know how to. Maybe the GM thinks Benji is coming on to him, like flirting with him.
I don't know what this means. I don't know. But so basically, what's going to happen here is you are going to you talk to this guy, to Elmer. And for whatever reason, he seems to entertain you. He does not seem to get terribly upset. He's like, "Well, sir, yes. If you come on down to the the front desk, I can get you a new key, get you a room with a view."
Well, hell, thanks, Elmer. I owe you one.
Click.
Before you go, Elmer, you don't speak of phone,
I'm afraid,
by the way.
He has already hung up the phone.
Wait, who are you?
Where's the voice coming from?
How'd you get in the room?
As you realize your door was open just a crack, and he's just been talking to you from the hallway this entire time.
Through the vents.
By the way, I'm going to upload there's a picture of Elmer here. From when you first saw him. Whoop, that's a bit too large. It's larger than we'd like.
Well, boys, I got us an upgrade. With any luck, we might get some free meal tickets for the buffet.
This is my room, and I didn't want to leave. You guys are in my room.
Come, hey, dude, stay here and rot. I almost slit your throat.
Yeah, here's old Elmer.
Okay. Very...
Elmer Lawset.
Where is it? He's a weird looking dude.
He's not a fun guy
to
look at.
A little bit unsettling.
He's not a fun man to look at. So yeah, you've got the upgrade. You just got to go down, ride the elevator down, and go check it out.
What do y'all think? Should we switch to the lakeside view?
No, Benji, we need a tend to Hank here. He's still an inch from death.
Well,
he'll be all right.
If Elmo was still on the line, I would have asked for some...
Which he is definitively not.
Yeah. Asked for maybe if they could scrounge up some first aid. I know we already asked him that before, but... And secondly, aren't we supposed to be finding this J.C. Lynn...
Yeah, we got the room number.
Oh, we did?
Room 616.
Of course it is.
Okay, forgot about that. I don't know. I would... Do y'all want to try to do that?
Yeah, what about the party? Is there like a ballroom or something?
I think you just made that up.
I asked about really? That at the front counter last time, and they didn't say there was anything happening. At least whoever we were talking to.
No, like I said, if Elmo was still on the line...
Oh my god, Hank, I would. And he just shoves the phone. Talk, go. he's dialing the front desk again. You are intolerable, man.
Like front desk?
Elmo, was it?
Yes.
This is Hank Ellis.
The general manager at the Hotel Broad Albin.
This is Hank Ellis. We met earlier.
Elmer Lawset.
He's a Pokemon.
Elmer Lawset. Elmer lost it.
Can I level with you, Elmer? I'm dying. And it would be much appreciated if there is some doctor about whereabouts in this hotel that could offer me some aid.
Okay.
Can I level with you? I'm dying.
I am dying. Oh God. All right. So I already kind of rolled one time to give you this.
Yeah.
But so okay, so this is where we kind of get into some of the actually some of the mechanics of Delta Green. On page 55 of the player's handbook, you have healing. There's resuscitation. There's stabilization. And you guys basically did not have stabilization. Would be to give you to basically do a would basically be able to give you some minor healing with a first aid roll. The first aid rolls all failed previously, even the ones done by Dr. Barbas. Yeah, they failed, which is why he didn't do anything. So technically, according to these rules, this says once your agent receives first aid, success or failure, the agent cannot benefit from again until he or she suffers damage again.
Gotcha.
According to the mechanics, you cannot be stabilized. Now, there is treatment, which is medical care and a hospital or aid station with extensive medicines and tools. This you can do once per week.
We could also punch him in the face and make him take one damage and then retry it.
Correct. Correct. You could damage him back down to 2 HP.
And risk killing him. A 1d4.
Do you think this hotel has such medical devices?
Or is this asking Joe? Are you asking Joe? Elmer Lawsett.
I asked Elmer in more or less of a turn, you know.
Okay.
Basically that.
Alright. Let me look at something real quick. Let me scroll up here and look. I see your constitution rolls where you rolled. I see your failed first aid rolls that we rolled as well.
You should put that on a fucking t-shirt. Cannot level with you. I'm dying.
All right, let's roll a good old fashioned luck roll, right? How about that? I'm gonna roll D100. Okay. We want 50 or below. Let's see what we get. That's a 99. That's a critical failure.
Yeah.
No, we're all not right. gonna call it a critical failure. Yeah. I'm afraid, sir. I'm afraid that we do not have any. I'm sure you could venture out into the city. And perhaps you could use the booth across the way. Might be able to... I am joking, of course, because I've always already made reference to the fact that I don't know what the hell's going on out there.
Fair enough. You know, I honestly didn't know that was an option to go into the city, but
it's not something I would suggest. People often have a hard time finding their way back.
Well, the last thing I would like to ask you, is there a communal area or some events going on in the hotel that we should be aware of as residents?
As in, are we holding like a convention? Like perhaps for those people who dress up as animals?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Please describe to me this.
Oh, that's right. You came from 2015. That wasn't quite a thing yet. It was just really kind of heating up in 2015.
The fuck is this upper character?
That's Joe. That's Joe. Mommy,
I do have a story about this that we I should tell you off camera.
Oh.
That doesn't involve me at all, but it's interesting gossip.
Sure. Well, sir, we do have, of course, there is we have the dining room, which is available, and there's some common areas there where people come and go. May I ask, sir, is there a particular event? Perhaps I could reference our, I don't know this word. What is it? Concierge? Is that the word for like a service that does would tell you like what's going on in a city if you're like at a fancy hotel?
Yeah, concierge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I could contact our concierge, see if there's something specific. Are you? So you're not interested in the furry convention, is what you're saying?
I'll pass on that.
Okay.
Did he say furry convention?
No, he did not.
No, did you hear him? You hear him like you hear the sound of something being crossed out on a piece of paper very heavily.
Well, we were given a pamphlet, a broad album, a pamphlet of sorts that had some notes saying there might be a ball, a labyrinth, a dance of sorts, or something like that.
The labyrinth, you say? Mr. Ellis, perhaps you would like to come downstairs. We might be able to come to an agreement. You and I.
What?
Alrighty.
He wants a blowjob.
Let me just put on my big fox head here real quick.
Oh, God, no. Done with the furry shit. Noted. I will be down there sometime today. Thank you, Elmer.
Look forward to seeing you. Oh, no. I'll be waiting.
Click.
All right.
I can't even contribute. I'm just laughing this session. I can't even do anything.
What does Benedict say?
He's ruffling. He's rolling on the floor.
He's just having a good old ruffle.
What do you fellas think?
I don't know. We've got a bunch of things we need to do. If you're feeling up to it, Hank, I guess we can go out.
That was the last thing on this list that I thought would pique his interest, but...
Oh, he seems piqued.
That's a word for it.
So we can...
I don't want to see... I'm going to say this right now. I do not want to be with that man alone.
I don't blame you, Hank. I got your back. We ain't going to leave you out to dry.
You hear a voice at the like spoken through the crack at the bottom of the door. I'll be down here whenever you're ready.
Is this like the small hand guy from Scary Movie?
Scary Movie.
I'll be here whenever you're ready.
So we can go see Elmer if we need to. We also have to go and find JC Lynn's in room 616, and Charlie said he would help us find them.
And Elmer, we also have some lost set.
Get out of here. Scat.
Tokens for the machine that dispenses food, apparently.
You choose Benedict. I'm a little, you can see I'm dying. But I would be...
I am literally dying.
I would be up to going to room 616 or venturing downstairs and trying to figure out what this labyrinth situation is.
When Benji put his head out the window, you said everything was kind of normal.
Normal in that you appear to be in a different place and a different time.
I take it Benji tells us about... this unusual thing that happened outside?
I don't know.
Or not.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. He'll tell.
Okay.
I understand that's an option.
What, going out?
Yeah, but...
Oh, no, Hank.
I don't know.
Going out is not an option.
Well, in theory it is, but I also don't think that's a good idea.
Well, let me...
3 hit points.
Let me try something quick. And Benedict goes... He takes the phone and he rips the phone from its I take it it's wired. He rips it, and he's gonna throw it out the window.
What the hell? Did
Why?
he wants to see if we can. He's got a theory. What happens?
You're on probably the fourth or third or fifth floor, and you watch an antiquated phone sail down to the floor to the cement and smash into a thousand pieces.
Does anybody see it?
Yeah, there's probably like someone on the street. There's like a man, and he's wearing like a stylish top hat, and he appears to be escorting a handsome woman with a parasol.
Does he look
and
up?
She gasps. Oh, and he looks up. He's like, "Damn furries!" As he shakes his fist at the window.
You, do that. You. We need a doctor. We need a doctor.
Crazy.
All right.
Nothing. Not responding.
He seems to be worried with I don't know, like calming his this young woman.
God. Hank looks at.
I'm so tempted to go into video game mode and just like whip my shotgun out and start blasting and see what happens.
Well, that was my attempt. I wanted to see if we're actually in this place. Or whether we're in some liminal space,
so,
and this hotel is just a traveler. Yeah.
Outside, you hear a newsboy like crying out from the soapbox, like, "This just in, hot off the press, phones flying through the air."
So let me just set the scene. What happened? Hank's like, "Should we go to see room 616 or go downstairs and ask about the labyrinth?" And Benedict says, "Hold on one second," and rips the phone out of the wall and then throws it out the window.
Yes, that's
accurate. And then Hank just like gets up. He's like, "I guess I'm going to room 616.
Okay, we're going. That's it. Fine by me.
All right.
Hold on one second. Okay.
Yeah, 616.
Okay.
Do we have anything in the room that we can take with?
Not a phone.
Not a phone.
Not a phone.
Anything else?
The room is overall, I mean, is very mundane. It's comfortable, a little bit out of fashion, but entirely mundane.
Hey, if you pull open the first drawer of the bedside table, is there anything in it?
Aren't there? Like, when did the Gideons start putting Bibles in? In hotel rooms, I don't know.
Okay,
there's a Bible.
There's going to be like a copy of The King in Yellow or something.
Hmm. Well, there's a small book, and it says on the front, it says Holy Bible. Don't you want to open it and look?
Let's see how this is going. Benji, put that down. Do we have any of our?
Because he throws it out the window.
Do we have any of our weapons with us?
God damn furries! This episode got weird.
Bones and literature the rails. Flying from the sky. What do we have equipment-wise?
You have everything you came in here with. I believe one of you, Hank, has an M4. You have like the tactical gear that you would have had with you. The jambulance is God knows where.
Directional mic gone.
Beautiful machine gun.
Yeah, well, like, I think that, so you would have had definitely just, like, what you reasonably would have had with you going into a tactical situation, which is what you guys were expecting when you went into the Golden Clown Theater. I think Benji has a shotgun, and then this, I can't remember if, Benedict has a rifle or a shotgun. I think he had a rifle.
Yeah. So. Okay. Are we going kitted out? Just walking into the hotel?
Oh, definitely.
With M4 on our backs. All right. Then let's go try and find JC.
Okay. All right, you exit the room, and you're going to need to go to the elevator. And then this is the same rickety-ass elevator... that you rode coming up here, it is seemingly just about to fall apart at the drop of a hat, which is something you guys already experienced once. You are going to, you hit the button, or maybe even as you open your door, maybe the elevator comes down. And again, it's like, it's not like a modern elevator where you can't see it. It's like the whole thing is just like this metal cage, and the elevator moves within it. And you see the elevator, maybe as you open the door, you see it kind of shake down into position. And you see, again, you see the little old man who was running it, Charlie, as he was called by Elmer. You see Charlie there, this ancient old man in kind of like an oversized bellhop uniform that is like, you know, it's like it's bunched up around his feet. And it's, you know, it's like the sleeves are a bit too long. And he just holds one ancient hand on the lever of the elevator.
Charlie, good to see you. Could you take us to J.C. Lynn's 616?
616, Beachfront Avenue.
Well, of course. Anywhere else you'd like? You're going up to visit old Mr. Lintz? Yes, sir. Not a problem. We'll get you right up there. Go ahead and load on in. Hands and feet inside the ride at all times. I love that one. Let's go ahead and let's get you up here.
And he, again, like he there seems to be like a almost like a special ritual he has to do to make this thing go the direction it needs to go. As he like messes with the lever in just a certain way. Go ahead.
Can we pay attention to it? And can we like take notice?
Sure. Yeah.
Can we learn it just by watching?
I don't know if you can learn it just by watching.
Benedict's coming for Charlie's job.
If Charlie isn't around anymore, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is this something we can know?
You're looking for part-time work.
After this, who knows where we'll be?
Who knows? Well, you probably see the... It looks like, if you didn't know better, you would almost say the lever almost doesn't look like it's attached inside this mechanism. You think that Charlie might be holding it in. It might be literally broken.
Charlie, can you teach me how this works?
Oh, I'm afraid not. Mr. Man. I'm afraid not, Mr. Man. It's a pleasure to meet you. My name is Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Great to meet you.
So, what's your last name, Charlie?
Oh,
a little bit senile. What's wrong, Charlie? What's wrong, Chip? You can't remember your last
name. Don't make fun of Charlie. Shit. Charlie has a name. Is all you need to know.
That's fine.
You're like, well, they just come. Well, my name is not actually Charlie.
Oh. Well.
Guido. Guido Antonucci.
Guido.
Come again.
Guido Antonucci.
Guido Antonucci. Guido. Why does Elmer call you Charlie?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Have you ever corrected
him? Here we are, sixth floor. Listen, if you fellas, gentlemen, you should come and visit old Charlie sometime. I would love to have an apartment here. I'd love to entertain you if you could, you know, come on by, and I'll tell you all about. Oh, Guido Antonucci.
And what, Guido?
Wait, you say you have
you call yourself
here?
Charlie?
What? Well, at some point you just stop arguing with people. But you should come by and see me sometime. I love having guests.
No, I don't think I will.
What room are you staying in if we ever decide to?
Oh, room 2.
Ah.
Well, that's easy to remember.
It's the second one.
Guido.
All right. Charlie,
would you happen to know any doctors who are medical professionals who deal with physical ailments?
Why don't I look around for you?
That would be great. And is he looking through his Delta Green book, or is he going to look around?
Yeah, he pulls out the possible landscapes, and he begins to thumb through it as he opens the door for you.
Our faces melt at the meta.
Yeah.
Benedict, grease his palms.
Guido, right? Are we allowed to tip you? Or will Elmer punish Charlie?
Of course. Every time he gets a tip, just Elmer Lausanne just beats the hell out of him.
How dare you get paid?
He like pats himself.
Why'd you refer to him in the third person? He said, "Or will Elmer hurt Charlie?"
I don't know what's going on. If it's some weird thing, I don't know.
Show me where Elmer touches Charlie.
He puts on this funny mask.
This is enough.
Should we just do this episode again? Should we just call this a mug?
He lies into 616.
Oh god.
Okay, can I tip him? Is this do you guys, I don't know what money you people use here.
Oh, I get all sorts of money.
Do you all like kinds. Money? Would you like something
yeah.
else?
I have love money.
Have you ever heard of the Dorchester?
The Dorchester? I'm afraid not. I'll take the rifle.
No, this was my grandmama's rifle.
Ah,
you can
send him a rifle with sentimental value.
All right, fine. He'll just take one of his standard purchases and tip Charlie a standard purchase.
Okay.
Which it takes.
That's
a
lot
tip.
Of money, right?
You don't big have tip. To. Yeah, you take out a few $100 and just. Just give
there you
it
go,
to Charlie.
Charlie. At this point, yep, Benedict would do that.
He takes it, he's like, well, thank you. That's I'm gonna find that doctor for you.
I would love that, Charlie.
Oh.
Guido.
Thank
to be fair, that's actually a really smart play.
No promises.
Because he sees everybody.
That's fine. You do us a favor. You've been helpful so far. We'd love a friend, Charlie. Guido.
Well, you know what friends do for each other?
Come and visit.
They come and visit.
They come and visit.
That's right. Room 2.
Right, the second
the
one.
The second one.
All right.
I'm using my old woman voice from our one shot all of a sudden.
I recognize it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. God.
We will see you later, Guido.
That's, yep. He shuts the grate behind you, and when he hits the down on the lever, the elevator car just drops. Just like you just hear it, like, hit terminal velocity.
Wow.
Okay.
On we go.
Okay. Enough
I think,
of that.
We're sufficiently playing our characters. Going insane this episode properly.
Absolutely.
It's about time. Okay, so what are you guys going to do?
616?
I mean, we're going to 616.
Okay. Yeah, you are able to...
Let's turn around and talk to Charlie again.
Why don't we talk to Charlie a little more?
Let's go back to Charlie.
Let's take 40 minutes to go back downstairs to room 2.
Man, we've already left our hotel room. We're doing great this episode. We've been to 2 locations. We're knocking it out of the park.
You guys are fucking killing it. Yeah, you are going to... You get down to room 616. Everything looks totally normal. I assume you're gonna like knock on the door or something?
Yes.
Okay. Alright. You knock on the door and there is no answer.
JC! Knock again.
Nothing. No one is.
Benji tries that trick where you card the door.
You know, the funny thing is that this is an old hotel. And, like, credit cards literally hadn't been invented. So, that might actually work. Like, that might actually work. So, give me some type of, like, a dexterity, or maybe not sleight of hand. This is not that game. Some type of roll to try to finagle your way into this.
I think dex gets you breaking and entering. So
does it?
That should be good, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. There's not like a lock picking skill.
There well, is Hank has, a particular skill set.
Hank has that.
Oh, that Hank does have lock picking.
Hank, what the hell are you doing? Get in
Hank,
there.
Hank, you can take you can roll your lock picking skill and you can take like a what's your lock picking skill actually?
I don't tell my it's in craft, but I have like nothing for craft and it just says lock picking underneath.
You don't have anything beside craft?
Yeah, like no numbers. Just zero.
That's not right. You should definitely have something there. Shit. I don't want to, like, dig and look it up right now.
No.
I don't know what it's going to be right now. You know how to pick locks. You know how to gain entry into places. We have fucked up your sheet at some point in time, as we are wont to do. But you can card this door. Because you have a skill. You know, Hank, you know, if Benji's, like, maybe Benji starts doing Hank, just kind of... I got this, and just real quick, just slip, and pops open the door. You see, in front of you, you open the door. Remember before when I said that you guys first came into your room at the Broad Albin, that it was, you know, almost identical to the room that you saw through the dream window?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This room is not almost identical to the dream window. This room is identical. Mm. This is the room. The room that you observed through the dream window. On the table is a bunch of papers and a typewriter. There's a suitcase there, a telephone that has a... No, actually, there's not a telephone.
I was about to smash the telephone.
There's not... I know. But it appears that there might have been a telephone at one point in time. It appears to have already been pulled out of the wall. You can maybe see a little damage there where it's been pulled out.
Good continuity.
So this is the room that we've already been in before, right?
Well,
except this time you're not swimming in it.
Yeah, we saw, you know, that mirror... Our window that was in wherever we're staying. When someone fell asleep, we could see through it or something. Right. We saw people on a typewriter, right? Or a person on a typewriter.
No, I don't think that.
Or we didn't see anything.
I don't think you saw anyone. No.
No, Benji swam through and you retrieved something, didn't he? Was it the phone?
I remember he went to the bathroom window, and I think that Benji or somebody pulled the phone out of the wall.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hank will do a straight-up search of the room.
Okay.
Yeah, and Benji's going to look at the text next to the typewriter.
Fail.
Okay, you don't find anything specifically interesting as you're looking around. It definitely... what you can make out is kind of similar to what you saw before. This looks like a man, probably. Is staying in this room. You look at the typewriter, and you are both the paper in the typewriter and some of the papers there, Benji. You see two things. One, you see something that's definitely excerpts from the King in Yellow. Small, short ones. But definitely. And you also see stapled together on a very different... And that paper looks kind of antiquated. And you also see in a bundle sitting next there, stapled, a very modern-looking kind of set of papers, you see another one that is labeled Night Floors by Roger Caroon.
Okay.
Mm.
I'm going to take that.
Okay.
for a little light reading, a little before bedtime reading later.
As one does. But yeah, as you guys are looking around, like, you can see that on the suitcase is similar to what you saw previously. Was a set of initials, JCL, and then on the inside, you know, there might be like, you know, like a shirt or a, like a set of pants or something like that that might have the name stitched into the seam of J. Linz.
We don't see a bottle anywhere.
You do not. You do not see a bottle anywhere.
Is there a bathroom?
Yeah, there is. Benji went to that bathroom before. Saw something interesting in the mirror. Saw Dr. Elias Barbus swimming through the dark void from one pinprick of light to the other.
Do we think J.C. Linz is the author?
Don't know. I don't know what to think about this guy at all.
Yeah.
Benji, is that
the typewriter?
That's the novel from that asshole in the Night Floors, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
1995.
Can we? Is there anything in it? It's just paper.
Okay, Benji flips through it, skims it.
Yeah, you. Maybe as you're looking through it, maybe you see that it appears that this is what Roger Caroon was writing, that he wrote this version of the Night Floors, which was about these unnatural things happening in the Night Floors attached to the McAllister building. But then you see some of the papers there by the typewriter, and maybe this, that maybe Benedict actually realizes this. You start to think, you're like, hold on. You think that Roger Caroon might have actually copied this work. You think this might be plagiarized.
I knew that piece of shit would have... That's exactly like him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's what you find.
This is it. Word for word. Nothing boils my blood like plagiarism.
Like plagiarism.
And telephones.
It's the ultimate... There are two things... There are two things that set Benedict off. It is plagiarism and phones. Well, listen, guys, I think that's probably actually a pretty good place for us to stop as the team has found J.C. Linz's room. You're asking some good questions, man. You know, like, what are we doing? Like, should we go visit Charlie? You know, like, how much do we trust Elmer Lawsett in a dark room? These are good questions. I like where your head's at. But yeah.
Was it written in the book to make Elmer an absolute creep?
Kind of. Like, you know, this is one of those things, like, when we do a debrief at some point in time, you need to ask me about Elmer. Elmer is a card.
Okay.
But anyway, guys, thank you very much for this one.
Thank you, Joe.
Everyone, yeah, thank you. Everyone listening, everyone watching, really appreciate it. Want to say thanks to Old Pumpkin Cakes, who just is a resubscribe for a fourth month. We appreciate it.
Hey, Pumpkin Cakes.
Thank you so
Pumpkin
much.
Cakes, you're the best. We appreciate you. Always with us here on our super unreliable Twitch schedule. But thank you very much. Listen, you like what you're listening. If you like what you're hearing, you like what you're listening. Like what you're hearing, tell someone about it. Leave us a positive review wherever you're listening, on Apple or Spotify or whatever. If you really like it, you want to get a week early, you want to get the Sandy check, come over to the Patreon. It's just $3 a month. We really appreciate those. And those on our Patreon, you guys keep us going. Guys, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah,
it was a fun
thank
one.
You.
Yeah. But everyone, we will catch you next time. Those watching live, we will be right back. We're going to take a break and then we'll be back. And for those listening later, thank you for being here. And remember, everyone, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye-bye.